Well, church, let's just pray for a moment. Gracious, loving God, we just give you thanks for your word. May it inspire us, may it challenge us, may it renew us. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit be upon us now, that it may open up your word for us anew and afresh. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it has been a while since I've been out the front. And I was actually thinking, I wonder if I still know how to preach. So please be gentle with me today, because I may be a little bit rusty. So what I want to do today is actually I'd like to share and explore with you about the Apostle Paul's charge to Timothy. But in doing that, we need to not just look at it in its isolation. We need to actually see how Paul weaves it through and then charges Timothy to remember what the value of the gospel is. Remember the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share an illustration. Now, we have been away for a little while. So on our trip, we went to Alice Springs and we actually stopped in at the old telegraph station. And being the slightly nerdy kind of people that Annette and I are, we followed the old telegraph line up to Darwin. And when we were in Darwin, we had to find where it landed in. So it's like that little nerdy kind of thing that you need to do. Every so often we'd see the ruins of the various telegraph poles and stations around the area in the Northern Territory. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this and wanted to actually illustrate this is that one of the things that we realized when we were there and the whole notion of the telegraph is that they wanted to send a message from England to Australia and they wanted to figure out the best way to do it. And it apparently it came in that you'd route it through, you know, the rest of the world, then you'd come by sea to Darwin and then it'd come all the way over land down to Adelaide and then join the rest of the telegraph network here. But to do that, you actually had to have these repeater stations. In other words, places that would have a big battery, it would have a whole family and operators that would spend the whole time waiting for a message to arrive. And when that message arrived, they would then repeat that message so it then could be passed along. Think about that for a moment. Because when we are thinking about the charge that Paul gives to Timothy and what in 2 Timothy has been happening, there's been this whole notion of passing on the gospel, of hearing the message and then passing it on, just like a telegraph repeater station has the message and passes it on. You know, the whole system would fall down if the telegraph operator went, "Well, that was fantastic, got the message, but never passed it on." It would stop and stay. Let me push a little bit further into this illustration. Today, we actually don't use telegraphs. Anybody, you know, got a telegraph message lately? Nobody, good, I'm glad. We use satellite communication. And here's the thing, it's almost instantaneous communication, but we have more communication, we have more things being transmitted around the world today than we have ever before. But what are we sharing? Funny memes of cats. You know, various, you know, we share our life, what we had for breakfast. If it's Instagrammable worthy in front of you, sharing that. But do we actually spread the truth of the gospel? That's the question that we want to ask ourselves. Do we spread the truth of the gospel? Let me just go back to a part of the passage that Paul explored, that is our Paul, explored last week, that Paul is actually, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy. And it is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. And it says this, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace of God that God gives you in Jesus Christ. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Notice that? Paul was not teaching Timothy here just to hold on to the message. Paul is teaching Timothy here to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Not only to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but to empower and encourage others to share that as well. This is about how do we share, how do we push that through. This is what discipleship is learning the words, the ways, and the works of Jesus Christ so it may influence your life and so that you may pass it on to others. Not to be kept for yourself, but to pass it on. In fact, Timothy was taking the scriptures that he knew, the word of God that he knew, which was the Old Testament for us, and was able to then tell others about Jesus as the Messiah. He was being trained to be able to interpret how Jesus was the fulfillment of all those things. Important to be able to pass it on. The Apostle Paul here goes on to continue to remind Timothy to hold that truth of the gospel, that good news of Jesus Christ, to hold it, teach it, and share it with others, but to do it in a particular way, to not let it be diminished. I want to share you a little bit further in 2 Timothy chapter 2, a little bit verses further down into 14 to 19. It says this, Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. I just want to pause there for a moment. How often do we get hung up in Christian circles about what is the right way, the words, the interpretation, all these things? We tend to argue about the minutiae and we forget about the big picture, which is Christ and sharing Jesus Christ. Here we go. We'll keep going. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. How important is that? To learn to correctly explain the word of truth, to give the gospel. Avoid worthless talk that only leads to other godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. And in this way, they have turned some people away from their faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with the inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil." How powerful is this? So notice this. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy about, encouraging him to about. Remember the truth. Pass it on. Teach it. Don't get caught up in arguments about things that aren't important. Stay there in the truth of the gospel. But really make sure it is a part of you. Remember to pass it on because it is so important for us. We are the Lord's elect to be able to share that with us. Now, I want to drive this little message home about spreading the gospel. Now, when I first heard that the sermon series was called Gospel Pandemic, I kind of went, ooh, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I was sharing that with a friend last night, who happens to be a nurse, and she said, oh, that could be a bit soon. But there is some really important things that we kind of need to get out of this. Because the thing about this is that we really need to be able to spread the gospel. So that's the kind of notion that we're talking about. How do we spread the gospel? Are we sharing the gospel? You know, in any endemic pandemic, things are being spread from person to person to person to person. It's just going out there. So while we understand that, we need to keep it in mind. But here's the thing. My brain goes back to my time when I was doing research science and immunology and vaccination and part of that. And the thing that we need to make sure that we are not doing is having what's known as, in terms of sharing things, there's a process of vaccination that's called attenuated viruses, attenuated vaccination. In other words, what they give you is a insipid, not virulent strain of the same disease. So it doesn't cause a, you know, any disease in you, but your body recognizes it and then fights it. So here's the thing. Are we sharing an insipid, weak, non-powerful gospel to those around us that then immunize them against the power and the faith and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in our lives? Is our faith up there and really strong and powerful and being spread with power and effort, or are we being insipid with no power and no depth to us? You know, there's and here's some of the things. We used to have and be able to share the good news pretty easily in our society. We now find it difficult. We have school scripture, but we have legislations that we can't do things. So there's the attenuation of that. And I have a feeling that it actually immunizes people against the gospel, against faith, than actually encouraging it. When we make it watered down. Youth groups, though, that is powerful. You know, when somebody catches fire, it spreads to everybody else. You know, having people come to faith because they hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and it being lived out in people's life is so life-changing. And it spreads. Have you noticed when somebody comes to faith that they want to share it with others and they're passionate on fire? Don't we want that for ourselves? Don't we want to be able to share that on there? So it's a sobering question. It's a sobering thought for us. Is the gospel that we are giving, that we are sharing, or maybe not even sharing at all, powerful? This is a sobering question for you. So let me come back to the charge that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy, found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. What did I put up there? There you go. That was what I was talking about. So 2 Timothy. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how my persecution and how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution, but evil people, imposters, will flourish and they will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. Let me just stop there for a moment. Paul here is doing something really interesting. Paul is currently in prison, writing to Timothy to encourage him to spread the gospel, to keep on sharing the gospel, keep on doing what he's doing. Remember his discipleship process that he's had with the Apostle Paul. Others are around are going, why are you letting the Apostle Paul tell you what to do? Look at him. Isn't he disgraced because he is in prison? Okay? Look at him, he's disgraced because he's in prison. So Paul is reminding him of all that he's done. And in fact, that he is standing firm in his faith in the face of imprisonment, in the face of being chained there. Remember all that you have been taught and the power is there. And then he comes into the actual next part. But you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. How important is that? Are we remaining faithful to the gospel? Or have we started to change the gospel to make it suit us? So often in our society, we want to shuffle and move and make things so it makes it easy to do whatever we like. But the gospel sheds a light upon us and challenges us. So let me do, but you must remain faithful in the things that you have been taught. You must know that they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. In other words, trust what Paul has passed on. Trust the message that has come in that you are going to pass on, like the telegraph. Don't change it. Bring it in. Pass it on. Remember that. You've been taught the Holy Scripture from childhood. That is like the Old Testament there. They've been taught all of those and what Jesus has done. And that you have been given the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. There you are. Trust in Jesus Christ in all of this. And Paul goes on, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses us to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Wow, that's a big statement, isn't it? Let me break it down into four things for us. There are the four things that the Bible does, the Scriptures do for us. And this is what we are willing to do and pass on and teach, and it helps us. There are the four things that, and, you know, in the New Living Translation that we had, they use slightly different words, but it's teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. The Bible is useful for all of those things. And is incredibly helpful for us. So if we're thinking about the teaching, it's actually teaching what it means that God is here. It's the doctrine. The Bible is our source of our truth. It is filled with what it means to live our life in faith. And it helps us guide and make right decisions in our life. So that's you know, when we teach somebody, how many teachers do we have here, or ex-teachers? Do you just teach for the sake of hearing your voice come out? No, you teach because you want those who are listening, who are there, to take on board the knowledge that you are imparting, because what does it do? It helps them in their life. It helps them in their understanding. It grows them as a person. So the Bible helps us do that, and that's what we should be teaching, so that people may grow in their faith and understanding of Christ. Rebuking. Now, I do love the way the New Living Translation puts it, but rebuking, it means to convict somebody of their error in their ways. That is to rebuke them. And this is what the Holy Spirit does with us. It shows us where we have gone wrong. When we stand ourselves against the Bible, and we may have fallen short in our life, it helps to rebuke us about what we're doing. It's about that Bible reading us in our lives. And then it's about correction, which is to restore. So not only does it convict us of our errors, it then shows us how to be restored to the right position. God's word leads us in the right direction again and again and again. And finally, it says that, you know, the word of God is there for training. The goal of any parent is to raise their child to maturity. I always remember this, that the goal of actually of being a parent is not to do everything for your child. That you need to teach them how to do things. You need to train them how to live and make good decisions. Now, I'm a parent of children that are older, and I hope that things are being passed on, and at times we wonder whether things have been passed on. Whether they make good decisions or bad, and sometimes you just have to sit back and go, we have trained, we've taught, we've invested, we've put in. I once remember Wayne Cadiro actually making this statement that the art of actually somebody teaching in the Bible is not to be the teacher of the Bible, the pastor of the church, is not to be the spiritual nursemaid of everybody. In other words, you need to be there to teach and train and allow everybody to understand the gospel for themselves. We train our kids to learn to eat and feed. We don't just spoon feed them mush every time. We want them to have solid food and to be able to have that themselves. More so, we actually want them to choose the right food later on in life when they get to that point where they're choosing for themselves. This is what it means to pass on the message of the gospel, is it gets embedded in their life so much that they make it choices right. So when we are thinking about how the Apostle Paul has been investing in Timothy and teaching him and showing him and showing him what to do, and how the message, the scriptures have all pointed to Jesus, and that you actually have a salvation in Jesus Christ and your life is changed, you then need to go on and do that to the next generation, and then allow them to do that to the next generation, and then so on and so on and so on. Is about spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, not holding it to yourself, but sharing it with others. Let me leave you on this. If we're to spread the word of truth, that is the Bible, we need to know it. We need to live it. We need to find people with whom we can share it. How about we just pray together, church? Gracious, loving God, we give you thanks that you have given us the word here found in the Bible. Lord, never let us be ashamed of your word. Never let us be ashamed of your truth. Never let us be ashamed of the glory that you have given us through Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I just pray that you will continue to encourage us, challenge us, correct us, show us the direction that we need to be heading as a church, as individuals here. Lord, we just pray your power of your Holy Spirit that will be upon us today, that it may convict us, that we may turn back to your truth, that we may know it for certain in our lives, that we may know that we are redeemed through Jesus Christ, that we are loved, that we are made new, that we are one with you through Christ. Oh Lord, we just pray this in your powerful name. Amen.